accession number 19060, Reel 7.
Jim Murray, Reel 7. So, you were about to tell me about the pig farm. What was the pig farm?
Yeah, well, when I took over, it was a 40-sow herd, and it was losing money. And the animals were inbred, and it was in a bad state. But I went there, and I worked every hour that God sent mine, and I did a correspondence course from Rittle College on pig keeping. And I did that in me, burnt the midnight oil, and I used the live animals to practice on. And in 8 years, I turned it round to a marvellous little business there, in profit in a very few years, actually. It was making good profit. I got rid of the inbred animals. I went up to Norfolk and I did an artificial insemination course. It got top quality semen off the agricultural board and inserted it in my pigs and produced some beautiful animals. And I produced a boar this way from a 500 guinea lot of sperm. And so I had a real top quality boar and beautiful. And I used to, from the 40 sows, I had to produce 800 wieners a year. And so I was contracted to Eastern County Farmers to produce these pigs. That's pigs up to about 12, 14 weeks. And then they sold on to other farmers who fattened them up for pork or bacon. We didn't have the facility then or the space to take them further than wieners. And they used to give me so much a pig plus so much a pound.
So, why did the military police have a pig farm?
Well, it was a way, it had gone on for years, and it had been a way of getting rid of the swill. So, you know, the prison had a kitchen in A, B, C, and D. There was four, and headquarters. There was five kitchens, all producing swill. And in the old days, they must have said, oh, well, that's the thing to do, that's the way to get rid of it, which was true. But there's such a lot of rubbish in this. Pigs don't like onion skins and things like that. And they don't mind apples if they're raw, but they don't like apples boiled because that they ferment and it makes them drunk and all this sort of thing. So I used to use the swill by all means, but I used to use top quality of meal and all that as well. And I did quite well. I did a good job there.
And what was the, how could you tell, what was the problem with inbred pigs?
Well, what was happening, because these people didn't know, they didn't keep proper records, so there was a boar called George, and he bred a son called Blue Band. Well, they should never have kept him anyhow, you know, or if they had, they could have used him on half the herd, but they didn't. They'd say, right, we'll keep four females from this litter and a boar. Well, father was serving daughters, brother was serving sisters, and what happens is you get pigs born without an anus, you get pigs born with hernias, testicle hernias, navel hernias, you get, oh, this, it goes on, there's all sorts of problems, and this is what they were having. And I had to start, I had to literally start from scratch and make sure I knew where the pigs come from. And I did 3 day weights, 3 week weights, 5 week weights. I castrated them, I cut the teeth, I injected them, I did it all myself. Prior to that, the vets were coming doing these jobs and charging a fortune. So the little bit of profit that was there was had gone. So I did the course, and I even went to the co-op butchery and did a butchery course to learn how to chop them up.
And so you were demobbed from the army in 79?
In 79, yeah, I was demobbed from the army, and I came home and I cried my eyes out.
Why was that?
I was lost. I came into this house here, and my wife was at work, my kids were at work, and suddenly I realised that was me finished. And there's a poem in my book there which mentions that, but it had been written 12 years before. And what I said was, what a sad, sad day for me when they say you're no longer required. And that's how I felt, because I'd been under the army umbrella all my life. I just had to do my job and I was cared for. I hadn't to worry about income tax. I hadn't to worry about, as long as I did my job, I was covered. My wife had a home, my kids were cared for. Although, I must admit, my wife didn't like army life.
What objection did she have to it?
She just didn't like that. She thought we're like bags, which it was with the infantry. We're like bags and baggage. We're just like baggage. She believed that. Well, it was very sad for me to leave.
But did you get a job in civilian life?
Well, I thought, I was saying, what can I do? I can be a pig farmer. I was offered a job as a pig farmer, but we'd had a 10-year that, and my wife had suffered, really, because I couldn't go away for any long period of time because of the continuation with the pigs. You had to be there for the serving and delivering and all that sort of thing. I didn't have any relief. So I decided not to go into pig farming, but I thought, what qualifications? So I was looking at postman, milkman, this, that and the other. And then a friend of mine says, Bank of England's looking for security superintendents at the Loughton, at the printing works. So I applied for that job, and I went through there, and you wouldn't believe it. We're talking about CVs. I mean, I hardly knew what a CV was, because I'd never applied for a job all them years, you know. And the bloke sitting behind the desk said, well, tell us a bit about your career. One was a commander of Scotland Yard. Tell us a bit about your career. I said, well, how far do you want us to go back? Right, from school. So it's literally what I'm telling you now is what I told them, probably more briefly. And they sat there as quiet as mice and listened to that. And this bloke says, well, Mr. Green, it was. He says, what a marvellous career you've had. He says, do you know? He says, since I've left school, I've sat in the desk in this office. I've never moved. He says, and you've accomplished all this. He says, what an experience. He says, I think we can say you've got this job. He said, but you'll be informed by writing. So I got a letter saying, could I start? And they said there was no promotion, but they created promotion. Within 4 years, I was senior security superintendent with the Bank of England. And I was there 14 years, retiring at 60, and I lost three shifts in the last 3 months. I had an unblemished record until the last 3 months, and I got a chest infection. Otherwise, I'd have had a clean sheet there.
And did you eventually adjust to civilian life?
Well, that was quite like an army life, really, because we had a guard room and we had all the same sort of books and rosters and rotas, similar to what you have in it. And we had outposts, guard posts up in the attics of the building, which were just like a bit like the maze or some of the buildings in Hong Kong, you know. And the men were all ex-servicemen or ex-policemen anyhow. So we out during the dark hours when we had nothing to do, we sit and exchange, you know, our stories and one thing and another. So it was like an army setup, which eventually I got used to. But I dropped out of the MPSC Association because I was in the Durham Association, you know, Durham Light Infantry Association, and Korean vets.
And how do you feel now in 1999 about having had a career in the army?
Well, this is what I'm saying. I'm still, at quiet times, I have still problems with the various traumas that I've gone through, which I've mentioned to you. And it's when my mind is empty that these things come in, and I try to justify, especially the first one, first time in action, where I saved old Ralph Grimwood, and he's there to prove it. And at the same time, I was like threatened with a court martial there, and that always troubled me. And then, of course, it was the one where I shot them RAF officers, and I was slung in the nick again, sort of thing, you know. And then I was definitely cleared there. So, but it, And then I think I've been sidelined a few times, you know. And I was after my education when I was up recruiting. I couldn't get it when I was in the infantry because we were always required, so we could never get away. So when I went to the Army youth team, I saw the major up there about some time off for the study for me first class education. And he says, no, he says, you've got no relief, we can't let you go. So I had to take leave. So I took a fortnight's leave so as I could travel down to Kattrick from Sunderland, down to Kattrick every day to do this, me army education course. Well, I got everything except me maths, so I was quite successful there with that fortnight sort of thing. And so I think I got, in the same fella, although I got all the youth clubs in the area asked me to stay on, and there was like a ballot sort of thing trying to get us to stay on, not to go for, and the colonel wanted us to stay anyhow. But even though I'd done everything right, that major couldn't recommend us for a colour sergeant's job, like when normally you do, and if you'd done it anywhere near decent. So I think he like sidetracked me a bit there, you know. And I honestly, and when I read my little red book, which is my confidential report in there, the first time for the first 3 years, those were years when you weren't supposed to have a mind of your own. You used to have to do what you were told in the army. Now they've got more say and they've got to share ideas and that. But when we were there, we just had to do as we were told. We weren't supposed to think. Now, my report said all the usual stuff: trustworthy, honest, reliable, construction of good knowledge of construction works, mines, demolitions, booby traps. And at the bottom of that, with a mind of his own. And a colonel once says to me, he says, that would have kept you back. He says, a mind of his own, especially in 1950s. He says, and that's what that's in. That's about what you've done, various things I've done. I've used it off me. But that's your, I always thought that was using your initiative. But he says, that little thing there would have probably kept you back, a mind of his own. I said, wow. And then that RSM that wouldn't promote me, thinking I might go into the mess if I had three stripes up. I know I was only a lance corporal, but why they decided to send me on the warrant officers and sergeants course. But rather than me going in his mess, he had me take stripes home for my wife to sew on, which was a bit of a cheek really, like, and go on that course and then remove them stripes when I came back. And yet, while I was in the mess at Chatham, the RSM and the warrant officers and all treated me as equal. I was treated, couldn't ask for better. And then to come back and have to do that again, strip yourself off before you come back into your barracks, you know. And I think that was a bit For something I haven't done to anyone, unless there's a secret report there that says, which I'll never know now. I'm thinking of going up to the records office and just checking out the DLI things, which are all there for everybody to see.
Are you glad you went into the army, or sorry?
I'm glad, because there was nothing for me at home. There was the mines. I tried the mines. There was the farm work, which was good, healthy work. But you weren't getting anywhere. It was just a dead-end job. I had no qualifications at all. And I was that way, I was jumping from job to job. But when I got in the army, that army disciplined me and settled me down. And whatever job I did a damn good job of it. I made sure of that.